Castellanos has it, and the Phillies have the National League Championship. They have beaten the Padres 4-3, and they celebrate on their home turf as the Phillies are the 2022 NL champs.
Hey there, podcast pals, and welcome back to another edition of Hittin' Season. This is episode number 640. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. And coming up, the Phillies spring training games have officially begun. The fake games in full swing, so we'll give you some early thoughts on the spring training stuff we're seeing down in Clearwater. There's also some pretty interesting stuff going on around the majors with spring training. The pitch clock is having a big effect on time of games and the speed with which these things are happening, and a big moment in one of the early games on Saturday. We'll talk about that. A Phillies rival has added a cornerstone player, or at least locked in a cornerstone player for a good long time, and we got lots of other stuff to get to here on this episode of the podcast as spring training again rocking and rolling down in Florida and Arizona. Joining me, as they do every time this week, my good friends Justin Clue and Liz Rozier. Justin, of course, from Baseball Prospectus and The Dirty Inning. Follow him on Twitter at Justin_Clue. Justin, it's been a week since we last chatted. How you doing, bud?
I don't like the pitch clock. I don't dislike it.
We're going to jump right in. We're going to jump right in. I love it. All right, here we go.
This is what's on my mind. I don't dislike the idea of the pitch clock. I don't like that the pitch clock is looking me in the face.
No, they got to move it.
They're going to move it in the regular season is what I heard. So yeah, it's not going to be the giant set of numbers that you're staring at when you're watching a spring training game. But for people who watch baseball to relax, I don't know what better new aspect there could be than a large set of numbers constantly counting down.
Yeah,
so
that is stressful.
I'm ready to not be looking at that anymore, and I was very relieved when I heard from a source I now completely forget that's going to not be on screen during the actual regular season, which I think is for the best. But I am very eager to see how the rest of these issues play out, because the first time an actual baseball game is ended because somebody didn't get into the batter's box, and then, you know, if that's possible, the umpire's judgment as to, you know, what second it was in the sequence of seconds he has to judge whether or not the guys in the batter's box is going to come under scrutiny. And the whole thing's going to be a terrible, stupid mess. And all we can pray is that the Phillies are not involved in that.
Or at least not the victims of it. If we're involved in it and we're on the winning side, I'll take it.
Oh, well, that means the system's working perfectly.
Yeah, yes, working perfectly.
That's how it's supposed to work. Get in the box. I don't know. That's an easy rule.
I agree. They got to move that clock ahead up someplace higher, and they will do that during the regular season. But it's like that 24. Remember the TV show 24, the countdown clock to the commercial breaks? Like, we can't have that every pitch for 200 some odd pitches a game.
Or lost. The ticking down clock has a very nefarious place in storytelling. Yeah. It has no place in baseball.
Absolutely not. No, the grand old relaxing game is that we can't have that. Liz Rozier from Yahoo Sports. Follow her on Twitter, at Liz Rozier. Liz, how are you doing?
I really wish I cared about the pitch clock. Nope. I mean, I like it, actually. I think it's fine. Like, I've become kind of agnostic to the changes, just mostly because everyone has such strong opinions. It's great to not care. It's great to just be like, I can't wait to see what happens with all this.
Baseball, well, it's easier to not care.
Much easier to not care. Yes, I agree. But, like, for me, it's like, I, at the very least, I want to see what happens. Like, I'm confident enough that if enough people complain about something that's on the screen or that's being distracting, that someone will react. We've seen that before.
Yes, baseball is famously quick to fix itself.
I know, but, like, broadcast stuff, individual.
Yeah.
I think that stuff will get corrected. But the rest of it, like, I think, for a long time, baseball people have been against change just to be against change. Every sport has modernized. And, you know, I don't trust Rob Manfred, but if this actually ruins the game, it's not like he'll be blind to that. He's not stupid. He may not like baseball, but he knows what it should look like.
First of all, Rob Manfred is stupid. Secondly, secondly, remember the catcher, the lane, getting out of the lane of a runner,
yes,
coming to home
plate.
Yes, yeah,
the Buster Posey rule. Yeah,
and
yeah,
that,
yeah,
that went on forever. Right, it has a name, Buster Posey rule. And that probably for, God, maybe two or even 3 years, that was the ear of baseball broadcasters who, like, if that play went down and there was any kind of confusion as to who was supposed to be where and the outcome of the play was impacted, that led to a rant of some kind from someone in the booth and obviously from the fans watching who felt they got screwed, because baseball didn't really work out how exactly that was going to work. It just, it made this rule, gave people, you know, a normal amount of spring training to figure it out. And then the regular season started and suddenly it was just like, no one understands this rule. No one can explain this rule. No one can work within this rule. Now we don't really talk about it. I guess it's just been sort of ingrained into the sport, yeah, and we're just kind of over it. And there's other, yeah, things to talk about. And there's other rules to talk about. This I see probably going in the same general direction. But the mm-hmm. problem is this beginning part. Baseball, yeah, just seems to have this orientation problem. Getting people acquiesced to working under the new rules they introduce, right, is really hard. And I guess to some extent you do have to just be like, we're doing this. You get a 6 weeks of exhibition games to work out whatever kinks you come across. Mm-hmm. But then the regular season's going to start and you kind of just got to roll with it. Yeah. And there's going to be a number of fiascos that result from that. And I wish that they could just, you know, they're a huge billion-dollar league corporation, all these powerful lawyers and people with influences and that genius Rob Manfred sitting at the top. I feel like they, you know, maybe could put some funding or thoughts or research into how best to incorporate these rules. But again, maybe they have, and this is the best way, because, yeah, this is always the hardest part.
This is a rip the Band-Aid off type of situation,
exactly,
here. And I was going to wait to bring this up until later in the podcast, but we're knee deep in this now. Let's talk about the pitch clock, because I do think I was in favor of it, Liz. I still am in favor of it. I agree with Justin. I don't want it staring at me in the face like, you know, mm-hmm, some kind of lobster I'm about to pull out.
I
of
hear
water.
Enough clocks, right, ticking inside of my head.
That's
all
right.
Day,
oh, God.
Long. I don't need to look at one when I'm watching baseball.
Correct, Mundo. But I do, and I think the reason, and people are grousing about the pitch clock because, yes, it does. It does. Fly in the face of what we know when we're watching a game, and we're not used to seeing a clock count us down, and when they move that clock, it'll be less intrusive in our lives. I think the idea here is once it's out of eyesight, that all we notice is that the game is moving along more crisply and quicker, and that the idea, I don't even think, yes, Major League Baseball does want to reduce the length of games. They don't want an average game time of 3 hours and 7 minutes, but really what this is designed to do is stop all the nonsense between pitches with all the dead time where nothing was happening. Because you really don't need all of that dead time, right? I mean, a pitcher does not need 30 seconds to collect the ball, to tow the rubber, to play with the dirt and all that kind of stuff. In some big moments, sure, that can add to the drama, but for most of the season, you don't need all that nonsense. You don't need the hitter stepping out with 1 foot out of the batter's box, flipping up his batting gloves 5-6 times, fixing his helmet, fixing his shin guards, touching the ground, doing the sign of the cross before he gets back into the batter's box. You just don't need all that stuff. And so far, they did a list of all of the game times on Saturday. I saw this on Twitter. They ranged from 2 hours and 15, all but three of the games were under 3 hours. And they had one, two, three, four, five, six, seven games were under 2.5 hours, which is just crazy. So it's having a real effect in the real world. And they saw this in the minor leagues, that when they used the pitch clock, the games were shorter. But it's not even as much as the games being shorter. It's that there's more action crammed into that 2 hours and 30 minutes or whatever, that you're getting more action, less time standing around. And we've seen already in the spring a couple of instances, Liz, where players forgot or they didn't get into the box early enough. There was a game between the Braves and the Red Sox on Saturday that ended in a 6-6 tie when a Braves hitter was called out on strikes with the bases loaded, two outs, a full count on him because he wasn't in the batter's box and ready to hit with 8 seconds left on the pitch clock. They don't play extra innings in the spring
Stupid.
Training games. And so it ended as a tie.
Sucks
and the
to
umpires
be him.
Are clearly being told, call everything.
Call. They have to. Here's the thing. It's their fault. No one's talking about whose fault this is.
Yeah,
like, well, pitchers take so much time between pitches, blah, blah. Whose fault is that? It's the umpires. Umpires have gotten lazy and loose over a long period of time, allowing the pace of the game to get this way. the only reason guys are taking that long between pitches is because that's what they've been allowed to do. If umpires would have quickened them up and said, hey, get going, we wouldn't have needed all this. But the umpires apparently didn't seem willing to do that. So now there's a clock. Great job, guys. Let's blame the real culprits here, the umpires.
You know, the issue with like looking at the clock and that they're going to move it really is like ultimately, I think that the core of this is that it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. I'm not going to think about that clock if I'm not looking at it. So that becomes a non-issue for me. And maybe what they should do, you know, they don't seem to have a problem changing the baseball without telling anyone they've changed the baseball. They've just let people figure it out and then ask them. Maybe they should just change rules and not announce that they're changing the rules. And we would miss this whole part where everybody freaks out because the game is changing. It's not the game from their childhood and blah, 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 blah. But like if they just start using a clock, and this is really going to help the doomsday concerns I had about the clock.
Yeah.
Just a mysterious clock with no explanation is just suddenly in the ballpark counting
just
down.
Just hovering.
Much more palatable. You're
twice
right.
Twice a game, it's lowered on a crane for no reason and no one knows why. It lights up and makes noises and everyone just has to watch out for it.
Yeah, that's right. Not a security threat at all.
But like just introduce these rules and don't tell people beforehand that the like you know the players obviously, but don't tell the fans or anything like anything is changing. Just let them figure it out. Just dropping it. What's that runner doing on second base in extra innings? Well, I don't know. We're going to have to ask somebody because apparently baseball just does that now. But maybe that would be a good way to cut down on all the lively debate, let's say, that goes on about any single change that baseball makes. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I feel like there's very few of these rules that they've incorporated and then backed off on. So I think I always
All going to stay.
Yeah. Like I approach these like, yeah, I mean, you know, I guess I could hate it, but what's the point of that? Because they're not going to change it. So just adjust and, you know, complain if you want. But at the end of the day, this is just baseball now. And it really isn't. We'll get used to it, like the catcher thing. Like they've been using clocks. That's not new. They have been doing that. Like there's ways baseball has changed, and we in time get used to it. But that doesn't mean I want to see it. And I think that's ultimately my point here is that you can tell me every rule is changing in the world, and I probably will just my eyes will glaze over, or I'll just start looking at my phone. But if I go to the ballpark and sit down, and I'm able to notice, like, wait a second, that's not like how it was before. Or, like, I don't like that. Why is that like that? That, you know, when things start impacting me, that's when I'm going to get upset about them. I think that's most people's perspectives. And that's me with the clock. I can see the clock, so I don't like it. Take it out of my view, object permanence of a dog. It no longer exists.
I mean, I think you're right. A lot of this is going to calm down in a couple of years. As soon as pitchers learn how to deal with it, no one will care. Everyone had a huge, throwing up their hands and running around fit when it came to like checking pitchers for foreign substances. That still happens. No one complains about it, though. So
we're still doing that.
That's we're right. still
we're
doing
do that.
That. Everything.
Yep, we're gonna do that.
Everything just gets absorbed. And part of this is the umpire's fault. Again, so the umpires really have they've been told, and of course, let's talk about how this is happening just a few years after our very good friend Joe West retires, because there's no way he was doing this. There's no way he was being forced to do his actual job to do more.
I'm gonna go the other direction on that.
Minimum.
I think Joe West loves chaos. I think he would absolutely love to ring up a big star in a big moment. Using his waddling out behind home plate, ringing somebody up because they didn't get into the box before 8 seconds left. I think Joe West would absolutely have been itching to pull that. Joe West wanted the cameras on him at all times. There are umpires like that. There are going to be some guys that just absolutely can't wait to sit there with a smug expression on their face as a hitter is going apoplectic, losing his mind outside the batter's box because he didn't get in there with 8 seconds. Or a pitcher, I saw this weekend too, a pitcher requested a new ball from the umpire, got the new ball, didn't realize that the clock doesn't reset if you request a new baseball.
No.
You got to get the new baseball. You got to get it ready, and you got to pitch it in the same amount of time. They don't reset that thing when you call for a new ball, and they called an automatic ball. And the pitcher was a young kid. He's like, "Yeah, my bad. I got it." You know, it wasn't in a big spot in the game. But there are going to be umpires who are reluctant for sure. They don't want to make waves. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to be a part of the game. But there are those guys, Angel Hernandez, that cannot.
I was going to say CB Buckner.
CB Buckner. They can't wait to make a mark.
You know. Go ahead, Justin.
Well, the first thing I was going to say is I think Joe West would have been the first umpire to make that call about the getting in the batter's box within a certain amount of time if he hadn't retired. But secondly, I'm going to go into a whole other thing. So, Liz, why don't you go before I do
that? I was going to say we should at some point take a look at the umpires who are that we know of this year who are coming back and maybe talk a little bit about them in a future episode. Just sort of get to know the umpires that we all hate.
Yeah, I mean, 10 of them retired, did I hear?
Oh, so, like, God, that's so many.
There's been a, yeah, there might be a generational shift. I mean, C.B. Buckner's still around. I don't know if you guys
saw.
He yeah, declined to shake hands mm-hmm. with the Cardinals manager before the game. The other umpires apparently apologized for his behavior. Marmol said, I don't think he's very good at his job. He has zero class as a man.
That's right to the point.
What the heck?
Sorry, I paused because I was like, wow, that's a strong quote. I better make sure the person I'm getting
you
that
got
from
it right.
is a writer. And yeah, no, that's a real quote. Holy crap.
Oh, Marmol, I've heard nothing but decent things about him, I guess. I mean, the Cardinals suck as an organization, but I don't think yeah. that's Buckner's problem.
I mean, Buckner has no class. That mm-hmm. is completely a fair thing to say, and he will absolutely use this as a reason to make himself the center of attention. And by that I mean not this scandal he created out of nothing, but also the new rules, and he will certainly use those in his favor. I just want to take a quick sidebar from all of this because we didn't get to talk about this anywhere else. But Joe West changing his Wikipedia page.
Oh man. Yes,
in retirement I have to say, having thought about this a great deal and really, you know, laughing about it for probably a couple of hours after I learned about it. If anyone's unfamiliar, long story short, Joe West was trying to change negative portrayals of his past behaviors on Wikipedia until the point that he was banned.
No.
He
threatened
legal action at some point. And you know why, Liz? You know why? I realized, you know why he got so into this and got so deep into making edits to his Wikipedia page? Because this is probably the first time his umpiring has had any kind of accountability.
Yep.
He has never had anyone tell him, like, oh, you're wrong, that he couldn't just laugh it off. He probably found out about Wikipedia by accident, clicked the link, never had heard of it, saw he had a page, immediately, like, searched for his own name, of course, and found a more objective and probably negative, because he's objectively a bad umpire, portrayal of his entire career, different moments that he just viewed totally differently. Like, no, you can't say that I was wrong. I was right. This is on the internet. Everyone can see this. And suddenly he realized, oh, crap, this is the first time anybody is holding me any kind of accountable for the stupid crap I did when I was an umpire. And he panicked and started trying to change things until they banned him from being able to do that. It was. I think that makes way too much sense. That is all a theory, but I think it makes way too much sense.
I mean, that's not here. I don't think he's learned anything, though. He doesn't believe it's the first time for anything because he did not. He's not done. This is what he apparently said sometime in early February. I need your name and address so I can give it to my lawyer when he files charges against Wikipedia. You are putting Wikipedia in a very compromising position. His Wikipedia username is crewchief22.
Hey, buddy. You don't the world is not a baseball diamond. People aren't just going to do what you tell them to do because you want them to do it anymore. You retired. You waited till you got your little milestone, but now you're just sitting in an old computer chair that's destined to break and trying to get people to do your bidding, and they don't have to anymore. This is going to be a rude awakening. I think a Joe West comeback is potentially on the table here.
No, don't say that. Don't.
Why would you open your mouth about something so cursed?
Yeah, I don't think if that idea is in his head, I didn't put it there.
I don't think
it ever went away. I think he realized pretty quick, oh, crap, I have no authority and everyone thinks that I suck.
I also have no life because look at what I'm doing.
Seriously. Oh, my God.
All right. Well, here, saddest thing.
I'm going to bring us back here.
Yep, thank you.
Sorry about that. We went on a tangent about umpires.
We took a long walk off the Joe West Pier there, and about 19 minutes into the podcast, let's talk some Phillies baseball a little bit here. We got a couple of games of spring training under our belts, and so far I think they've looked pretty good. Obviously, they're fake games. They don't count. Everybody's just working on stuff. At this time of year, normally the pitchers are ahead of the hitters, but the Phillies hitters have looked pretty good in just these last couple of games. It was great to see Trey Turner's first at bat, right, in a Phillies uniform. Can we get an amen on that? Trey Turner singling, stealing second base, scoring a run in his first official plate appearance with the Phillies. All right, we can take that. Let's do that about 700 more times this year. We saw Nick Castellanos go yard in the game on Sunday. Alec Bohm hit a home run on Monday in Monday's game. Man, they're just some of the young guys are looking pretty good. I don't know. It's been fun this whole time down in spring training. We've been talking about the vibes, how good they are. And so far, I think in the games, it's carried through. And it's good to see Turner in some games. It's good to see Nick Castellanos getting games and go the opposite way for power. I think it was really interesting. He was talking after that game about a mechanical adjustment that Kevin Long made with him that morning. He was taking videos of Kevin Long was watching videos of Castellanos' at-bats on Saturday, and he said, "Hey, I think you can get closer to the plate." And Castellanos says, "You know, really?" Okay. And they have this conversation. He moves closer to the plate in the game on Sunday, and he gets around on an inside fastball and turns it out over the right center field wall. I mean, just that's encouraging. Castellanos is one of the guys we are watching most closely here in spring, because production from him is really going to be important with Bryce Harper out. And I guess the question to start off with here is, who do you guys think is going to be the most important position player on the Phillies while Bryce Harper is out? Justin, who do you have as the guy that they really need most to play well with Bryce Harper out?
The Phillies' most crucial asset in general, and I'll answer your actual question in a second, but crucial asset is Kevin Long. He should be...
Yes, indeed.
I hope he is in a room that is locked, but he is getting anything he wants brought to him, but he is safe in that room. It is soundproof. It is, a germ couldn't even get through the keyhole. Like, it is just a protected space for him to live, watch film, and fix Phillies hitters. Because...
Wasn't there a movie with a plot something like this?
Yes, it was called Seven. I believe.
Okay.
Yes.
Month on That's continued right. success at the movies. That's
right. What I'm saying is the impact Kevin Long has had on this offense is more than any one position player probably has. Like, it is scary how effective he's been able to make guys who we've just been, oh, I hope he can figure it out. Hope he can make an adjustment. Hope things click and then he's able to like get his batter out or, whatever. Kevin Long is that adjustment. He is that clicking sound. Like he has done this multiple times. And obviously, Nick Castellanos hit one home run in spring training. Obviously, that's not quote unquote fixed. However, right. It's just, when you look at Kevin Long's track record, even just with the Phillies, there's a lot of success stories in there already. So I'll just say Castellanos to answer your actual question, because Turner is going to be a huge asset for this team, but he kind of plays a different role. Castellanos is a middle of the order bat. He's supposed to be bringing a ton of power like Harper brings. And should he, as we talked about last time, even approach a middle ground between his terrible 2022 and his all-star 2021 seasons, he would be a huge boon to the middle of this order. So for him to be able to turn it on, I feel like, I don't want to speak in cliches, but it's just like it feels like the equivalent of having, made another acquisition. It's like, oh, now we got a Nick Castellanos who is more like Nick Castellanos than that Nick Castellanos from last year, who was a shadow person. This is going to be a crucial time for him to be able to come through in the way that he has said he is planning to come through, in the way that he said, he's in a better place. He's got Kevin Long in his ear telling him to get closer to the plate. And I think that his role is going to be really important. And if he's able to be the hitter he was brought here to be, more so than he was last year, then that's going to be huge for the Phillies, coming from an area, the same realm where Bryce Harper typically lurks.
Liz, what do you think? Who's the most important position player on the Phillies with Bryce Harper out?
Can I say Trey Turner? Is it wrong to say Trey Turner?
If you believe it's...
I don't think there are wrong answers.
There are not wrong answers? Well, then I will say Trey Turner, if only because he's like...
Sorry.
you blew that one, Liz.
I know,
the correct answer.
Walked right into that one.
Yep. Imagining the buzzer from...
Family Feud.
Family Feud, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That's where I was channeling that from.
Perfect.
Yeah.
What was I saying?
Trey Turner, thank you.
I believe in Trey Turner. And I have picked him because he's really the added value this year. He's the guy that they added on top of everything else. Mm-hmm. And him doing well will hopefully fill a spot whenever someone else is not doing well and add more on top of it. Because they have like a whole extra really great player this year. Like a whole extra guy. And I feel strongly that that should elevate everyone. Like, I'm hoping that will get them to where they need to be even without Harper. I'm hoping that it's really great without Harper, and then adding him will just make us all explode and die of joy.
Yeah, I think when you think about, they swapped out, and we all love Gene Segura and what he did for the team last year.
Oh, yeah, no disrespect to him.
No, but to swap out Gene Segura for Trey Turner is light years. I mean, you're... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a 4-win player difference. But, you know, Segura is about a 2-win player. Turner's probably a 6-win player. And some of the rules changes that are going into effect this year are going to benefit Trey Turner as much as anybody else. He could steal 60 bases for this team. You talk about a rule that I think may not last for forever. All of the changes about how often pitchers can throw over to first base or disengage from the rubber, I don't know how that's going to work. Players are going to be running all over the place. I think it's going to be a wild west on the bases, and that might be fun, but I also think it could get a little bit comical if they don't increase the number of disengagements by one or two during the course of these next few years. I think that's a rule that will get tweaked. But for this year, I think Trey Turner is going to be a dynamic player either out of the number one or number two spot in the order. I think in terms of the answer to the question that I asked, I would probably lean towards Nick Castellanos, because if you can get 2021 Nick Castellanos or something close to that, this is a lineup that is one of the best lineups in the National League, even without Bryce Harper. You know what I mean? Like, that's how good this lineup can be with a Kyle Schwarber that does something somewhat reasonably close to what he did last year, and JT Realmuto doing his thing, some minor improvement from the Phillies daycare kids. If Castellanos is that middle of the order bat that's hitting 30 to 35 home runs, it totally transforms what this offense could be. It negates, there's no weak spot, there's no place to rest, and very few places to rest even with Harper out. And when Harper comes back, it really does look like one of the great lineups that we've seen in quite some time. So watching what Nick Castellanos did, moving a little bit close, because we all know what his problem was last year. He said it in the story that was, I think it was in the Inquirer today. Kevin Long asked him, how many times do you feel like a fastball in the zone has been blown by you? And he said, not very many. Well, how many times do you feel like you've expanded off the plate because you feel like you need to attack away? A lot, Castellanos said. That's what we saw last year. How many times during the postseason and was he constantly just reaching out and poking balls someplace?
Could have powered a city with the swings he took, where he was bent over swinging one-handed at a pitch low and outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So if we can eliminate that, and I thought was really great because he was able to whip the bat head around out in front on an inside fastball and hit it out to the opposite field. Now, it's the spring. It's Florida. The balls typically go a little bit further down in Clearwater than they would during the regular season, especially early in the season when it might be a little bit colder and the ball's not traveling as far. That being said, excellent sign from Castellanos, and we'll continue to watch him here. One of the most closely watched players down in spring training over these next couple of weeks. Couple other storylines to check in on. One of the big stories last week was Noah Song, this kid that they got in the Rule 5 draft. Dave Dombrowski drafted him out of Navy back, I think it was in 2019, in the 2019 draft. He was one of the best prospects, one of the best college prospects, a fireballing right-hander that was out there. Would have been a consensus top 100 prospect, most likely, but then went and served his military time in the Navy and really hasn't pitched off a mound in for the better part of 3 years, and he's been allowed to leave active duty, and he's with the Phillies in order to try and pursue a spot on this team. And it's been a great story. I think everybody was interested in this kid because of how hard he threw a few years ago. That all being said, He hasn't pitched really off a mound very much in the last 3 years. We have no idea what kind of arm strength he has left, what kind of how much rust there is to shake off. And not only does he have to make a 40-man roster, he's got to make a 26-man roster on a team that is expected to be a World Series contender with 7 of the 8 bullpen spots really already sewn up. So it's a great story, and everybody was talking about it, and everybody's really interested about it. This, to me, feels like kind of much ado about nothing. I don't see, Liz, really any way he's able to make the team. Am I off base?
I don't think you're off base, but I mean, Dombrowski obviously believes in him enough to have gone out and gotten him here. So there's a chance. I would see what he has. I mean, it's an interesting story, and that alone is reason enough to pay attention to it, because if we think the bullpen is just locked up, then this is just pure entertainment. And if he does well, then he gets to join the bullpen. And if he doesn't do quite as well, then, you know, then that will be that. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I get that totally. And Justin, I feel like I don't want to poo-poo the pick. I think it was a great pick to make. It's Dave Dombrowski said, it's, you know, you're rolling the dice here, seeing what you get. And, you know, maybe you can trade him before you have to give him up or something. But, you know, I feel like people are really wanting this to happen. I just don't like if he was able to get sent down to AAA and join the team later, makes all the sense in the world. You just, unless he's on that major league roster at the start of the regular season, unless he's injured, he's got to stay with the team the whole season, or they got to offer him back to the Red Sox. And it seems like a stretch to me that they'll be able to do that.
Am I nuts? This is all personal, right? This is
between Dombrowski and his old team.
He took this kid, he drafted him, and then saw an opportunity to bring him to his new team and simultaneously take him away from that nerd who has his job, whose philosophy is less good players is better, actually.
Oh, yeah. Like, I totally forgot
this
about
is
that.
All personal, right? Like, because you're right. There's no, like, you know, more arms in spring training, the better. You know, who knows what you're going to find, the more guys you throw in there. And, yeah, he was able to hit 99 when he was pitching in an international tournament in 2019. So, like, he's, you know, the raw talent was there at one point. But like you said, it's been a while since his foot's touched a mound in a formal setting. So, you know, there's that aspect to it. But like you said, being a Rule 5 pick, the context is you got to keep him on your roster all year. And if you're going to find something in the next couple weeks from a kid who has not been able to pitch regularly for a while, it just doesn't seem likely. So I think that just feeds into the idea that this is just personal, right? This is Dombrowski being like, my to-do list is basically done. The wheels are in motion with Nola. And we locked up a couple of relievers. We signed Turner what feels like 3 years ago. Like, yeah, now I'm just having fun. Now I think he just got a notification. The song was left exposed and was just like, let's throw that in there. On his like way up the stairs to go to bed one night, he just decided, oh yeah, let's do this. This will be fun. This will be funny. I'm having fun. I'm having a good spring. This is great. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I saw somebody mention that, I think, on Twitter, that it was a kind of a revenge thing or, you know, getting back at his boss's thing, and I'm all for that. I'm all for the pettiness, you bet, especially if it's the Red Sox.
Do you think there's a better place in the world for that to play? Philadelphia? The president of baseball ops is like, hang on, I'm just going to do something petty. And we're all like, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, no, I get that. No, you've never been more relatable, future Hall of Famer Dave Dombrowski.
You know, I'm pretty sure there's an IL stint in his future. Because
you're right.
That's how they keep him. And he hasn't thrown off a mound in so long. You know, he's going to be sore. And that there's a legitimate reason to put him on the IL and keep him here for a while. Right. I don't know what the rules are beyond that. I know that if he's on the IL, they don't have to have, I mean, they can put him on the IL and keep him there. I have to look into that rule more.
Yeah,
but
I feel like they can't. I feel like there'd have to be some kind of service time that he would have to accrue in order to not have to offer him back. Because otherwise, teams would just take a Rule 5 pick, make up an injury, and stash him on the 60-day IL.
You're not allowed to make up an injury. That's the thing.
Sure, but I mean, they figure out ways. I agree with you. You really can't be overt about it, but I think teams would certainly try and find a way to exploit that rule. But I don't know if that's a rule or not. You might be right. They might be able to do that for a little while, like a 15-day or 30-day, 60-day IL stint, so he can work his arm back into shape or whatever. I think that's certainly possible. And then maybe you only need to keep him for 4 months, and maybe one of your other relievers blows out an arm or is ineffective and you bring him up. I just know that they want that last bullpen spot to be somebody that they can bring up and down the minors, and he can't do that. So we'll see. I'm rooting for him.
We'll investigate the rule more and get back to you, because I know that there were some different accounts, and I don't think anyone at the time was terribly sure how it worked. So
yep. One of the other things to mention, Scott Kingery is with the big league club. He's gotten in a couple of games here so far.
Oh.
From 0 to 1, I mean, I think the thing with Kingery is before they added Josh Harrison, I thought he had a reasonable chance of making the team given the positional flexibility and the fact that he was right-handed. With Josh Harrison on the team, I don't think that's really the case anymore. The only way that I think he's able to make the big league roster is if he beats out Dalton Guthrie for a bench spot in the spring. Like, if Dalton Guthrie just looks terrible and Scott Kingery looks really good, Scott Kingery can play center field. He's played center field in the big leagues. He's played it reasonably well. He could play out there as a backup to Brandon Marsh against some really tough left-handers. What percentage would you guys give Kingery to make this big league team at some point this year, maybe not even out of Clearwater, but what percentage chance, Justin, do you give Kingery to see real time in the big leagues in 2023 for the Phillies?
What's real time? Like, he comes up to the major leagues and plays in a game?
Like, more than just he's called up for 3 games, doesn't get a plate appearance, plays 1 inning in the outfield. Like, he spends something like what Derek Hall did last year.
Okay. Since you're asking for a percentage, I would request that me and Liz say our answers at the same time again to see.
Okay, I'll count you down.
Exactly. Right. Oh, God. Oh, no. Okay,
on three.
Hold on.
On three. Get a number ready, Liz. Let me know when you're ready.
Okay.
All right. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
20.
0.
So, confidence is high.
I thought were going with 0. I really did, because, yeah, I couldn't convince myself that that's going to happen. No.
The only reason I think it's possible, because of the scenario John laid out, and I mean, you know, anything. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about guys in that role in the team where it's like fringe or like, you know, fifth or sixth outfield guys. Anything can happen, and, you know, maybe Guthrie does have a bad spring or something, and, you know, Kingery is just, you know, he's around. He's still around, and I do just kind of want to see it, and enough has gone right for a little while that I feel like, you know, yeah, sure, a Kingery comeback story. Why not? Even though it was just like every time you see his name, your brain makes the noise Liz literally made when you said Scott Kingery is in Clearwater. It's like, oh.
Oh,
yeah.
He's still on the team.
He's still doing stuff.
He's still that's under great. Contract. Good for him.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean, you know, I feel like the Phillies kind of owe Scott Kingery. He got jerked around to the extent that it's, I feel like generally considered, the organization certainly did him no favors development-wise, considering he was a product of the era where nobody was on the same page developmentally, and he was also bumped around geographically a little too much to be able to get in a groove and really become the kind of player they wanted him to be when they gave him a 6-year contract before he played any Major League Baseball.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. They haven't done that since, by the way.
Yeah, that's because that guy works in Milwaukee now. Yeah. That's why they haven't done that.
That has since kind of gone out of style. That was popular for a very short while, and then everyone saw it blow up. Because the Phillies weren't the only team that had
Jonathan Singleton. The Astros did that with Jonathan Singleton, the former Phillies prospect. That's right.
Yeah, people stopped doing that quickly because it was a way they thought they could save money. And in real life, they were just literally just throwing it away.
Maybe the problem was they were using Philly's prospects to try this particular new wave of financial thinking on, you know, maybe we should have tried it with some Rays prospects or something. And we would have had a whole different thing.
My point being that if Scott Kingery shows some kind of effectiveness or any kind of success, I'm not saying he should make the team out of Clearwater. He probably shouldn't. But if he shows an ability to put bat upon ball and doesn't look completely lost or having fallen off the cliff that has gotten him to this point. If he is showing any sign that he has climbed any significant length off the ground, I feel like they owe it to him. Give him a couple of games. Let him sit in the dugout for a week. Like, bring him up. Let him be a part of this. See if he can find a carve out a role for himself. Because yeah, he got screwed. He got screwed.
Let him accrue some service time. Let him get paid the minimum for when he's up. Like, let you know, that is just fair. You know,
I mean, get another baseball card.
Someone get him on Kevin Long's schedule.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God. There you go.
Well, and did you see there was an article this week about how much more confident Kingery is because he worked with Kevin Long? Because
I'm
he worked
sorry.
With Kevin. If listen,
we're
it,
so
you
familiar
were just,
with this
protect
genre.
This man. Protect this man.
I know. If we were just talking about the greatness of Kevin Long, if he can somehow fix Scott Kingery, get the statue ready, get the bus, put it right next to the Nick Foles, Doug Peterson statue out front. And I don't even need a World Series title to make the Kevin Long statue. We'll just
I'm serious. If he fixes Kingery, he should get a statue. He should be the first. That is not even a knock on Kingery. It's just the depth the with which he needs to be able to analyze to be as useful as he's been to these hitters whose lives are about hitting. Mm-hmm. Statue. Only mm-hmm. thing that's appropriate.
I mean, and yeah. I would be happy with, like, for me, a success there would be Kingery getting a call up and then hitting, like, just well enough to stay mm-hmm. up. Like, we're talking, like, 240 with, like, a couple of home runs. We're not, like, it's not, like, I don't think it's that much to ask. Like, 250 maybe. Like, slightly better than Rhys Hoskins is what we're looking at.
Liz, that number keeps going up. You're going to get greedy real fast.
I know.
All right. And just a couple other quick things. You know, Weston Wilson, who is somebody I had never heard of before.
Never heard
this
that
week.
Name in my life. No, that's a Matt Christopher protagonist.
I saw him on the two spring training games I watched this weekend, which I absolutely did do. I'm like,
home run.
Who is that guy?
My man hit a home run on Sunday and then an inside the Parker in the game on Monday when a Pirates left fielder misjudged a fly ball to the wall and smashed into it and hurt himself and then
already in midseason form.
So we can laugh.
The Pirates were really pirating from moment one today. It was something to watch. I mean,
it's
the Phillies were like just kind of out there and they're like, oh, okay, getting on base, you know, scoring some runs. And the Pirates were like, swept up by the wind, hats flying all over the place, banana peels all over the base paths. It was hysterical.
It's going to be September all year for them.
Yeah, no, but clear water and springtime is the time for the Weston Wilsons of the world, man. This is when Westons win. You know, this is their time to shine.
Yeah,
the Weston Wilsons
Westons
of the world
win when the Pirates put out guys who barely know what baseball is.
Yeah,
I saw another Weston Wilson. This one was named Garrett Whitley. Make a terrific catch against the wall in right center. And not only did he makes his catch, he was so excited. He came out of it. He was like, I think it was Ethan Wilson had jogged over to like congratulate. And they did like this chest bump organically, just did it like celebration. I was like, that's awesome. That is awesome.
He's going to remember that for the rest of his life.
Hell
you know what
yeah.
I mean? He'll be daydreaming at whatever job he has, you know, 10 years from now. When he's sitting in a corporate boardroom or he's in a factory, whatever he's, and he's just going to remember that play, running to the wall, snagging that ball. That's awesome. That really is one of the cool things that we forget about when we're watching spring training games. Some of these guys, it's the only chance they're ever going to get to play with big leaguers. And it's cool when they can make a play like that. That's really fun.
I meant to look it up, but I wanted to see if Whitley and Wilson were teammates. Or if, like, when he ran over there and they chest bumped, it was really was literally a, like, completely organic celebration. Or, like, you know, do they do that because they played together before? Yeah. Or did they just meet before the game started? And he was like, that was objectively awesome. We have to chest bump.
They looked in each other's eyes, and even though they'd never met in that moment, they knew what had to happen.
I feel like they're both close enough to, you know, having played in college, that like that's a traditional, you know, mm-hmm. celebration amongst baseball bros, the chest bump. But it's always amazing when it happens organically like that, when it's just like two people randomly running at each other just happen to time it perfectly.
You're like, right. I did make that sound like the chest bump was something they invented on the spot. I did not mean that.
No, but I was just trying to say it is awesome. Like, it is objectively awesome that they, you know, because that's something I'm terrible at, that type of thing.
Guys, also what happened today was when the Phillies, they scored their first run and Trey Turner came in, and him and Kyle Schwarber did this awesome thing where they both raised their hands up and then touched the palms of their hands together quite forcibly.
What did they call that? They call that something, don't
that
they?
That was wild. That was
I heard
intense.
From Dusty Baker. It was really cool.
Yeah, they call that like a slappy high or something.
Yeah, they're like, it's an innovation hub, that Phillies clubhouse. They're just coming up with new stuff in baseball every
great.
Day.
Great stuff. This team, the vibes are real. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, just lots of good stuff. And Ethan Wilson grand slam this weekend. Aaron Nola pitched on Monday. Looked pretty good. Craig Kimbrell got in the game. Looked pretty good. Things are just rolling right along. Some of the other big pitchers are going to pitch this week. We're going to see Andy Painter this week at some point as well. So the Phillies spring training rolls on. I know that game on Sunday went 3:06. It was a brutal slog of a game that everybody had to sit through, but they made it. So we're all getting to the finish line here. All right, let's see. Some final thoughts to wrap up this episode of the podcast, my friends. Liz, you want to go first with a final thought for today?
Sure. I was just trying to figure out what my final thoughts were going to be. And it's that I think a lot of people are very excited right now. And I'm trying to roll with it and not let the bad thoughts in. But I think it's important to have bad thoughts every now and then, just to remind you that to appreciate what's happening. I'm trying to enjoy
guard your heart.
It. Yes, mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to enjoy everything that's happening organically, like Justin said.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that ticking clock counting down is just, you know, it's just a part of your thoughts.
Sometimes it's a pitch clock and sometimes it's the crushing yoke of life.
Liz, I thought you were setting us up to be like, so here's a huge downer I was considering
no.
today.
No. I was just saying, like, I'm trying to remember. I was just thinking, I'm like, things are going really well. Why?
Who's going to get hurt? Yeah.
What exactly. I was that's exactly that's great, like that... what is about to happen? What's going to happen when the season starts? This is whatever, what is it? And I'm like, why am I doing that? I am damaged.
That was literally I saw a headline from Reductress today that said nice, things are finally going well for this woman, so now she's scared. And I think that's
no.
a picture
she's gotta
that's a
be
picture of you, Liz.
She's got I don't know the story you're talking about, but she's got to be from Philly. She's got to be from Northeast Philly.
Reductress.
Yeah, and what's funny is
Reductress tweets out my life at least twice a day.
I'm sure a lot of people are thinking it. It's why it takes a lot for people in Philadelphia to get to the point we're at now, where it's just like it feels good, because normally by now, you know, I'm not going to finish that sentence. So I feel like it's tough enough to get to this point. So yeah, I think there are those lingering thoughts of like, ugh. But you know, I noticed today once after the start of spring training, I was like, you know, that wheel of fortune gets spun and somebody big goes down somewhere. And that's like one of the couple of guys who doesn't make it out of spring training. And I think it was Gavin Lux today. Had to be helped off the field for the Dodgers. And that sucked. But at the same time, I was also like, okay, the wheel spun and it landed somewhere and it wasn't anybody on the Phillies, which, you know, amen to that. Like, that's whew. The other thing I want to say is if you can't get enough baseball based on how positively we're painting it here at the end, if you are unafraid to look your personal doomsday clock in the face, then may I suggest the Baseball Prospectus Annual?
I think you should.
You.
Yes.
Yes.
Full of information, essays, numbers I don't understand about the upcoming Major League Baseball season. Tons of great writers.
Recipes?
One of them is me. I don't think there's any recipes this year, but that's a component they need to consider in the future.
I would think.
I would head that up in a second. I own...
A lot of
Major League Baseball cookbooks, and I'd love to include them. Of course, I think there's a lot of copyright that might be involved in that. Though some of them might be like at least 50 years old, I wonder.
Well, that's, I think that would be a terrific idea, and Liz should head that up. But as it stands now, it's still an also very impressive book, and I'm in it. And I haven't gotten my copy yet, but knowing the quality of resource that has been for the past, I don't know, like 20 years at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's if you haven't already, it's well worth it. Last thing I want to ask is the tweet from Carson Wentz, who was just released by Washington.
It's old.
That's old. Okay.
Yeah. 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 I thought it was new because
I was like, is that fake? That can't be real.
Somebody quote tweeted a Carson Wentz tweet from it says, "Yo, Jahlil Okafor, we got to invite that young buck Ben Simmons to join us for that cheesesteak." And I thought, whoa, that's a baller tweet. That's so humble.
That's the first cool thing I've ever seen him do.
It's from 2016.
It's from 6 years ago.
June of 2016. So, no. It was right after he got drafted. Forget that. It was a good idea.
Oh, my God. That's so sad.
Good job. Good effort.
Sad.
It's way sadder knowing that was a genuine tweet at one point.
Yeah, in 2016. Now that Wentz has been released by the Commanders, it's where do those guys go for dinner now? I don't know. And somebody in the reply said, make sure to invite Mickey Moniak,
he still has a job.
I know, it's not right. All right, folks, listen, that's going to do it for this edition of Hittin' Season. This spring, we got some fun games we're going to play over these next few weeks, so you're going to want to stick around for a lot of those things, and we're going to talk some Bills baseball here as we get ready for the start of the regular season as well. We also got some fun bonus stuff over at our Hittin' Season Patreon. I want to make sure y'all go over and check that out. Go to patreon.com/hittin'season, sign up on one of our tiers there, and you can get some bonus content there as well. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time right here on Hittin' Season.